Okay, we shall have a Bible study. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 26. We're going to talk about the seed principle. That's God's word is the seed. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. The seed principle is the absolute key to receiving anything from God. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus is explaining some of this to us. He said, and he, Jesus, said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So the entire kingdom of God operates on the seed principle. If we get this principle, we'll never again suffer lack of any kind, love, healing, prosperity, etc., whatever it is. We got to understand that it's the seed principle. And what are we going to say with our mouth? If we're sick, we need to talk healing scriptures out of our mouth. Not talk about how sick we are, but talk about how healed we are. Talk to the sickness. Don't deny it's there. I mean, you obviously got attacked by something, or you wouldn't feel like a rat. So you don't deny that it's there, but you talk to it. You don't talk about it, you talk to it. Remember, Jesus said, talk to that mountain. Basically, he said, talk to your mountain. Here's the thing you're going to understand. You are in the kingdom of God right now. Look at Luke chapter 17, verse 21. It says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's here. We're not waiting for the kingdom of God to return. It's here. The kingdom of God is within you. Now look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. So you can understand where you are positionally. You need to identify yourself. You need to locate yourself where you are in this whole scheme of things. It says, who, our Heavenly Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are in the kingdom of God now because Jesus had said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. We must understand the seed principle in order to function properly in the kingdom. You are in the kingdom of God right now. You have been transferred. You've been bought out of the kingdom of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You're already there. It's important to understand that. When you understand that you can fight from victory ground instead of trying to fight to victory ground, you got a big step up on your adversary. Know this, the devil is going to attack. He's going to do everything he can do to ruin your day. But you've already been placed far above him. And the attitude you need to have towards the devil is if he has anything to say to you, he needs to say it to the sole of your boot. Amen. We got into the kingdom of God on the seed principle. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God planted in our hearts grew and bore fruit, resulting in our being born again or serving eternal life. So when somebody told you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that if you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and that you confess Him to be Lord, you shall be saved. But somebody actually told you that, didn't he? He actually heard somebody say those words. What they did was they planted the Word of God, His seed, into your heart. And it obviously took a hold, and you came to believe that in your heart, and then you confessed it with your mouth. You took that seed and you sowed it, and it became a reality. But somebody had to plant that seed. There's no other way that the seed principle is going to work without you saying something. You can sit there and meditate silently as long as you want, and all you're going to do is just sit there and meditate silently and get a little bit moldy. But if you'll get up and you'll start confessing His Word, sowing His Word, you'll start seeing changes. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about this principle in this chapter. He said, "The sower soweth the word." The sower is any man. The seed is the Word of God. Now, you got to understand this. That's the good seed. The Word of God is the good seed. That's the Word that we need to be sowing into our hearts and into other people's hearts. So, if there is something good, there's probably something bad. So if there's good seed, then there's probably going to be bad seed. So if we know that the good seed is the Word of God spoken positively in faith, then we can figure that bad seed would be the words coming from the devil. There'll be negative words speaking negative things over our life and over our finances and over the things around us. So we got to watch out. What kind of seed are we sowing into our life? Make no doubt about it, you're going to be sowing something, because you're going to be talking. You're going to be sowing something. Imagine that you hold in your hand a seed of corn. Now look at the Word of God. Both of them have life in them. If you have seed, if you open up that seed, you can't really see it, but there's life in that seed. The same way with the Word of God. There's life in the Word of God. So we want to cause that to have fruit, so we got to speak that forth. We got to plant that seed. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Life is in the Word of God. You may say, "I don't see it." Well, you don't see life in the kernel of corn either, do you? You don't see life in the kernel of corn. Same way you don't see life in the Word of God. You don't see it, but it's there. Farmers don't buy seed and check it by cutting it apart to find life in it. They know life is in it. They're not concerned by what it looks like. They plant it on the guarantee of the seller. Just to look at the Bible, it doesn't appear to have life in it, but the eternal life of God is in that Word. You got born again by words. Words caused you to have faith in your heart, and then you spoke some words forth. And boom, You got born again. And a lot of people come and ask me, they say, you know, something changed inside of me. I said, there's something inside of me that's different. That's life inside of them. The Word of God got inside of them and changed them. And they sense the difference. So that seed or the Word must be sown in order to produce a crop. You know, you can have a whole truckload of corn in your barn and it won't produce a crop for you until you put it in the ground. The ultimate example of this was our Lord Jesus, the seed of God. He had to die and he was put in the ground. You know, he was there for 3 days and three nights. And then he came to life. So we take our seeds and we put them in the ground. When we plant our garden, we put them seeds in the ground and we water them faithfully every day. But you don't find us going out there digging those seeds up to see if anything happened. But people do that all the time with their faith confessions. They'll plant a nice little garden and they'll tear it up with the words of their mouth. How do they do that? Well, they'll come into an atmosphere of faith and they'll get faith built up in their heart. And then they'll pray the prayer of faith, and they'll have everything right, and then they'll go out that door, and then they'll change their confession back to that of the world. What they just done was they just tore up their little garden. And then they wonder why their garden doesn't grow. Or if it does, it grows weeds. But the Word of God has to be planted just like the seed that we have in our hands. Both are seed and both have to be planted. A lot of times people have been and are even desiring miracles or healings from God and are looking for an outward manifestation. However, miracles and healings take place ordinarily because of an inward work of the Word. People wonder why God isn't performing miracles today like He used to. The truth is that He is performing miracles. But because they are not planting the seed of the Word, they are receiving no crop. God wants to do marvelous things in our lives. He just needs a little bit of cooperation with us. And part of that is us getting our confession right, getting our tongue under control, and saying things that are in line with the Word of God. Miracles and other blessings are an outward manifestation of an inward seed. We want things to change for us. Maybe for our physical, we need some physical changes or some financial changes or whatever changes that we need. Out here, it's going to happen first because we planted seed in here. When you get this changed in here, that out there will change. This will only change with positive seeds, the seed of God. We have to get our eyes off of the outward manifestation. I know sometimes this is hard when your body is sick. And your body is broken, And you need that healing now. It's hard to not look at that. But we have to look inside and keep on planting that seed inside. Once that gets built up strong inside, the outside will fall in line. Same way with finances. We got to get our eyes off the money and get our eyes on Jesus. Get our eyes on that seed. Get His seed in our heart, and then that will take care of itself. We've got to get our eyes off the manifestation and on the very thing that produces them. That's the Word of God. Miracles do not produce faith. Faith produces miracles and healing and prosperity. Our hearts are the natural habitat for the seed of the Word of God. Our hearts, you can look at our hearts as supernatural seed growing machines. That's why it's so important for Christians to watch what they say, because the devil, he knows you got a super seed grower in there. And you go to throwing some bad seeds around, he's going to make sure that crop comes to fruition. Think about that corn once again. If you only hold it in your hand, it won't produce a stalk of corn for you. Likewise, a Bible in your hand or lap, which is full of the incorruptible seed, does you no good until it's sown in your heart and in the earth. That you can have a whole library of Bibles. You could have every digital Bible that they've ever come up with. But until you take that seed and sow it with your mouth, it's not going to do you any good. You're going to have to say something. You're going to say something. You just as well say something that God said. Amen? Find His Word and say that. Mark chapter 4, verse 31 says, when it is sown in the earth. So we must sow the Word, the seed, by confessing it with our mouths and by acting upon it. You will notice that when you start confessing the Word, you're sowing the seed looks so small. I mean, you got this great big problem, this mountain in front of you that you've meditated on for a long time. And you've thought about this problem for a long time. And you got, and this thing just gets bigger and bigger. And now, some wild-eyed preacher starts telling you to start talking to that mountain. So you start talking to that mountain, and it seems like, oh my God, what a fool. I mean, and you start talking to whatever it is that your challenge is that's gotten so big, and you start spitting out some seed, and it's, and you think, this is going to take forever. But it won't. It won't. But the more you focus on the Word of God and the more you focus on Jesus, it changes things. All of a sudden, side of you and your problem starts getting smaller. But you just keep drilling that problem with the word, and you keep drilling it and hitting it with the word and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And then pretty soon, boom, you got your breakthrough. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So he's telling us, God's on your side. He sent his word, and it will do what he planned on it doing. You got to get your mouth in gear and start speaking to your problem. Start talking to your mountain. Your mountain may be sickness. Your mountain may be poverty. Your mountain might be any number of things. But you start talking to that. You will get your breakthrough if you don't give up. It says faint there. Basically, if you don't give up, you just keep on talking to that mountain, and you keep talking to that thing, and you keep talking to it, and keep talking to it, and keep talking to it, and then pretty soon, your harvest comes in. You got it. So many times, I've read so many accounts on people giving up just before the miracle happens. You know, I used to work a lot at night, and I noticed it's always coldest just before the sun comes up. And man, that hour before the sun comes up makes you want to just quit. You just want to be done with it. You can't take it no more. You just want to quit. You just want to give up. And you just take another step and take another step, take another step, and then pretty soon, boom, the sun's up. And you kind of take a deep breath, and then you're okay for a while. People don't realize that just before their miracle is going to happen is sometimes the darkest time of the whole battle. They just had to take one more step. Just go one more step. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 again. Said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So what does that mean? It means that by sowing the incorruptible seed of the word, we will reap a harvest. Now look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, find out what kind of harvest. It says that we reap a harvest of life everlasting, everlasting life. So what is everlasting life? It is all that God is, all that Jesus is. Jesus is life, the way, the truth, and the life. He's that everlasting life, the Zoe life, the life of Jesus. He is well, he's unworried, he's victorious, total blessing. We will reap all that God Himself is if we keep sowing that Word of God. One of the things that tells us in the book of 1 John, it says, "As He is, so are we now in this world." That's where God placed us. If we're not realizing that, then it's because we have activated that word into our life. See, God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. He didn't hold anything back. He's given it all. We haven't received it. The reason we haven't received it is because we haven't come to a revelation of what He's given us. We haven't meditated on that. We haven't spoken it forth. See, His blessings are limitless to us. He's just waiting for us to catch up with it. He's prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's right here now. There's no enemies in heaven. That table, there's a lot of people waiting to get to heaven so they get to the table. They could go to the table right now. God has already prepared it. He's filled it up full of blessings. All we have to do is go to that table and believe it and receive it. The same way we believed that God raised Jesus back to life and we received our salvation. The same way that we believe that God justified us freely by His grace. When God raised Jesus back to life, we got justified freely. See, some of these things we have to sit and ponder. We have to sit and meditate on these things. One of my biggest challenges was fighting my feelings. I didn't feel like I was forgiven. And I had a head knowledge of it, but I didn't feel like it. So I had to sit down and say, I am forgiven because Jesus said I'm forgiven. I am forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. I had to go over that and over that and over that and over that and over that. And then finally, that changed the way I felt about it. What happened? All of a sudden, I got a revelation of it, a realization that I am forgiven. The same way with righteousness. We're going to have to sit down and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was the creepiest thing for me to say ever. I thought, ooh. Yeah. I didn't like that word to begin with. I didn't like that word at all to begin with because the first place I heard that word was in the bar. And they would say, those self-righteous hypocrites, they go to church and then they tell us how to live. And I don't want nothing to do with that. It's a weird word. I didn't realize what it meant, that it meant being in right standing. See, that changes things. And then I found out that I'm in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. That made it better because I knew I couldn't do anything to qualify myself for that. And I knew if it was up to me, I was toast. But because Jesus qualified me, that made it different. So we're going to have to sit there and tell ourselves that we're forgiven, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we're justified freely by His grace, that we really can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But the more we meditate on this, when we meditate on these things, we're actually... And we're talking and we're saying those things. We're actually sowing that seed into our heart. And then we speak it forth. And then just as a bonus, this is a really cool thing about God. He just keeps making it better and better and better. The Bible tells us that the angels hearken unto the voice of His word. That means when you take God's word and you speak it forth in faith, it gives those angels a mission, gives them a job to do. And they go out there and they start causing God's word to be performed on your behalf. But you've got to get it out there. You got to sow that word. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your words. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your principles that you've taught us. You've taught us how to operate in the kingdom of God, and you keep teaching us how to operate in the kingdom of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and His guiding, we will keep learning more and more and more. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.